I'd like to welcome everyone to this joint session of the City Council and Planning Commission work session, September 12th, 2023. Let's do roll call. I'm Mayor Brian Horrocks, and we'll start with the council.
Council Member Ted Knowlton.
Lisa Baskin.
Natalie Gordon.
Elisa Van Langeveld.
Ken Latham.
Sherry Pace, I'm the staff.
Brianna Larson.
Ryan Holbrook.
Brandon Tucker.
Bill Ward.
Irene Stone.
Catherine Moss.
Ron Jorgensen.
Thank you. Irene, timing's everything, isn't it?
That blockage of the parking, you know, I'm excited
about. Yeah. Oh, you made it just in time. Our first item is discussion of a proposed amendment to the general development plan for lofts at North Salt Lake Town Center Plaza, located at 120 and 140 East Center Street. And we'll turn this over to Sherry, I assume.
So just by way of introduction, I wanted to let you know who the developers are that are here tonight. So we have Jess Curtis, Brian Carlisle, and Scott McQuarrie, and they are partners in this with HMS Development and JCI Incorporated. So tonight, first, before we open this up for a discussion with them, I wanted to just go over a few things for background for the City Council. So this is our zoning map, and you can see the site on 130 East. It's the two lots that straddle, one on the west of 130 East and one on the east side. They are, as you know, are entitled under the Town Plaza Development Agreement. In 2015, the proposal for the Town Center Development Agreement was approved, and it contained the 54 townhomes that are now built to the south of this, and two office buildings. The office buildings, as they were proposed, were two-story buildings.
Sherry, can I stop you for a second?
Yep.
My ADD will kick in here, and I won't listen. Is Stan online? Did we need to acknowledge him? Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I want to just give you a little bit of background from the Town Center Master Plan. So I included this in your packet. As you can see, this was from our master plan that was adopted in 2016. This area is master planned for mixed use. It's the pink color that you see there. And specifically, this site in the master plan was used as an example as the type of development pattern and street cross-section that was envisioned for the area. And so it was a narrower street with tree-lined streets and wider sidewalks. It has the plaza feature. So if you're familiar with driving down 130 East, there's the stamped asphalt and then the stamped crosswalk. And then it contains some street features. So street trees within grates and planter boxes that can double as seating areas. The nice Town Center street lights that we have with the flags on them and the flower baskets. And so this was the vision from our Town Center Master Plan. So it calls specifically for a mix of residential and commercial uses that support walking and creation of a destination within the town center. It was to be a more traditional feel with a sense of history and timelessness. It was to have on-street parallel parking with 15-foot sidewalk, with 10 feet of that adjacent to the buildings for pedestrian activities, and the 5 feet adjacent to the curb with the stamped concrete, streetlight, street trees, grates, and seating planter boxes. And so these are the figures that outline that. And that's what the basis of the development agreement that we reached with Dave Curtis, the previous developer of this property, what it would look like. And so this was the general, or this is the existing general development plan under the development agreement. On the left, you see the design that they received site plan approval for. So the building on the top is the Western building, and it was to have retail commercial on the main level and office space on the second level. And then the west building is the lower picture there. And it was just a two-story office building. And you can see the site plan on the right-hand side of this screen.
Sherry, we've had a request that you go a little slower.
Go a little.
Let us absorb this all.
Yeah. Okay. So this remaining property has been transferred to Jess Curtis, and he has partnered with HMS to request a change in that development agreement. And as you know, back in March, the developer came to the Planning Commission with a plan, and it was a concept plan that contained 280 residential units and six stories. And the Planning Commission denied that on March 14th of 2023. The applicant then submitted a new concept plan for consideration, which reduced the height to three stories and contained 98 residential units and 7,900 square feet of commercial space. It did not include additional property. So additionally, previously, if we go to this site, you see these two properties here. The 280 units included those properties. So they were proposing three buildings, six stories in height, and they were going to add that property to the development. So that has since been dropped. They've come back with a change that they brought before the Planning Commission. On June 13th, a public hearing was held on that reworked design, and the Planning Commissioner had given them some feedback on that design. And they were concerned, the Planning Commission was concerned with the new plan that would look very similar to this, but the Planning Commission was concerned with the parking distribution. They had the majority of the parking stalls were on the west building, and the majority of the apartment units were on the east building. And so there was some concern over the residents having to cross the street every time they brought groceries and that there just wasn't enough parking on the site. They also shared some concerns about the shared parking and potential conflicts between the retail uses for the customers and employees. And the developer was asked to work on those items. Another concern was deliveries and moving vans. They had no designated parking for loading or unloading or delivery drivers, and they thought that might create a possible problem with double parking on the city streets. And then the last concern that was raised was open space, the landscaping and gathering areas. The percentage of the landscaping or open space for the gathering space or amenities was low for the number of residential units compared to other properties in the town center. So now the developer has reworked their design, and they wanted to present this in a work session to the Planning Commission and City Council to find out how you felt about this design, if you felt like they're going in the right direction, and to give them some feedback on creating a formal application to review, because we will have to have another public hearing on the changes. And before we take it to public hearing, they wanted to make sure that they were doing, that they had caught the essence of what the Planning Commission was asking. And so I'm going to just briefly review that project as it stands right now, and then I'll turn some time over to the developer to talk to you. So let me see. So here's the following proposal. So this is the first story. It's the Center Street level. So I'm going to stand up here because I can point just a little bit better. So for the Planning Commission's benefit, they used to have, the first design had a parking structure on this west building that covered the entirety of all of the parking spaces. That's now been cut back to where you see that dotted line about halfway through. So on this first story or ground level, there's 8,900 square feet of retail. That's increased from the previous request in this building that was 7,900 square feet. And then on the east building, there is an entrance off of Center Street, and it goes partially under the second story of the building and partially under a parking structure that's here that's accessed at the second story level. So on that east building, they also have on the corner their leasing lobby and their mail for the tenants. So on the second story level is where you enter the parking garage that's proposed for the west building. It's 19 stalls on that side. And then on the east side, you enter also from 130 East. There's 30 stalls, and part of those stalls go over in a parking structure, the first level parking. There's also the second level of the building extends over the top of a few of the parking spaces adjacent to Center Street. And then on the third story, they're showing an outdoor amenity on the corner of the eastern building. So just kind of give you a feeling on that. So the statistics for this particular development as it's laid out contains 86 apartments. 70 of those apartments are one-bedroom units, and 16 of them are two-bedroom units. Just to note that previously the developer had been seeking some funding from the RDA for affordable housing. They are no longer seeking that at this time, but they have noted from their market study on their rentals that these units, at least the one-bedroom units, will be at the 80% AMI level. That's the market rate for that size of apartment. And I want to give you an idea of what those apartments look like. So they have what they're calling junior one bedrooms, and they're essentially a studio apartment, but have movable walls that go around the bedroom area. So the tenant can open that up to the living area, or they can close it off for a little bit of privacy for that bedroom. They have a couple of one bedroom corner apartments that are true one bedrooms. And then, like I said, there were 16 two bedroom apartments. Okay. All right, so this is what the architecture looks like from Center Street. Actually, this was the original building. I have the wrong picture in here in this slide. This is what the buildings look like from Center Street. So you can note that each one of these retail tenants on the main floor have curb height entrances. What they've done there on that first floor is that they are proposing different story heights as it steps down the hillside, so that like this one up at Center Street at the corner would have about a 10-foot high ceiling inside of it, and then down here at this other end where the slope drops down, it'd be like 14 feet. This is the redesign of the building on the east side. And you can see that this demonstrates the third story rooftop amenity overlooking that intersection. And then they've provided us with some renderings. So a couple of the other things that they wanted to look at that we analyzed. They were concerned because we'd been talking about density with the Planning Commission. And when we compared this project, it seemed to be a much higher density than any of our other high density projects that we've done in the town center for P District. But because these are one bedroom apartments and some of those other projects are two and three bedroom apartments, they wondered what that would look like if you compared it density to the bedroom count instead. And so I provided you a table there in your staff reports that kind of go over that density. Like if we were talking about Williamsburg, they're at 41.6 units per acre. But as far as bedroom density per acre, it's 66. And then this proposal right here for lofts at North Salt Lake is at 63.3 bedrooms per acre. Also on their parking ratio, let's see. Just want to make sure I don't miss anything. So they are proposing, I believe it's 147 parking spaces. Okay. 142 parking spaces, 87 of those are covered or carports, and 55 are surface stalls. So let me go back to this drawing. So on this drawing on the west side of the street, There is coverage for this eastern part of that parking lot. And then in the eastern parking lot, there's coverage for these spaces here and the spaces up there next to Center Street where you enter off of that. On the second story, they are showing some carports on top of these parking structures. This one is entirely carports on both sides, 30 stalls, and this one has carport stalls on half of the stalls, half of those 19 stalls. If you looked at the parking rates compared to some of our other projects and compared them to the bedroom counts, with like Williamsburg, we're at 1.19 parking stalls per bedroom. At Village Station, we're at 0.93 parking stalls per bedroom. Eaglewood Lofts are both about 1.25 per bedroom. Morella out on Redwood Road is at 1.13 per bedroom, and this is proposed at 1.39 parking spaces per bedroom. So per bedroom, for parking, they actually have more parking than the other projects that we've looked at. Additionally, on the site, they're proposing to add some on-street parking spaces. You can see along Center Street, there are stalls in front of the retail. They're proposing that when those are built, that they be designated as two-hour parking during business hours. And the two stalls that will be added in front of the East Building are proposed to be short-term or delivery, so 15-minute loading and unloading zone. So that's where your Uber Eats would park, or any of those delivery drivers, or short deliveries of move-in. But they've also provided some loading area in both parking areas for moving vans when tenants are moving in and out. Let's see. So as far as the amenities that they're proposing the outdoor rooftop gathering area on the third floor of the East Building. They are proposing this area south of the parking for the Western Building to be a dog area, a fenced dog area or dog run area. And they're proposing a fitness center on the second floor of the East Building for the tenants. If the Planning Commission remember, in their last proposal, they had a commercial fitness center that they were proposing on the main floor of the retail area. So the landscaping on this is provided at a minimum, and it's only about 10,000 square feet, and that includes that dog run area. It doesn't include any of the on-street landscaping, like the street trees. And that hasn't been measured, and that was just my approximation of the plan that was submitted. The minimal landscaping needs to meet our standards for water efficient landscape ordinance, and it does limit them to 5,000 square feet of sod. But this plan doesn't provide a lot of open space, so I think that's probably a topic of conversation that you want to have with the developer. The West Building for commercial is providing 8,900 square feet. I told you about the stepped main floor, the architectural design. So what they've done here in this architectural design is that they have their three stories, and they're kind of a mix between modern style and some traditional styles. They've added these roofline structures so that some of these units would have vaulted ceilings on the third story, and they're hoping that those will mimic the feelings of the townhouses behind that are three stories with the pitched roofs.
Hey, Sherry, quick question.
Yes.
So are these live-work units?
They are not live-work units, okay. No. These are the yeah. This is true mixed use. So this is true mixed use, that this is separate commercial on the main floor of this building. And so one of the concerns that were raised at the previous public hearings had to do with the height of the proposal. And so I wanted to look at that. And so I went and looked at the very first townhouse, and the plans for it to see how tall it was. And so they came in, and they are 35 feet, 8 inches, almost 36 feet tall from finished elevation to the roof peak. And then I met with our city engineer to determine what the slope of the road was from that first townhouse to the corner of the building on Center Street. And the developer told me that that building is 41 feet in height. And so when we look at that slope of 8 and drop of about 8 feet, you can see that this building will actually be either equal to or a little bit lower in actual roof elevation, finished roof elevation, than the lowest townhome in the project.
Sherry,
so,
if I can ask a question.
Yeah.
When you say the first townhouse, are you talking Orchard and 130? Because it is below the street level.
On 130. No, it's actually right at the corner of that house. It's at, it's not very far below street level, that first one.
Okay.
The ones further up are.
As long as you've considered it, that I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That one happened. I went and looked at the street view too on that one, because I know that the ones further up, the first story is actually a little bit below the sidewalk, but it's as you move up those townhomes that they fall further below the sidewalk. So this corner unit, the first one, is right at sidewalk level pretty much.
Hey, Sherry, what's the guidance in the Town Center Master Plan regarding height?
So we have a call for the town center to be densified and to have higher structures, but it also calls for stepping the height between the core area and the neighborhood areas. And so while we could make an argument for greater heights than this, we could also make an argument for this being the transitional zone. But this is the impact of the actual visual impact of the height in
the Sherry, let
analysis.
Me interject here just for a second and acknowledge Councilmember Porter is now joined our meeting. He's online. Welcome, Stan.
And so this gives you a little bit of an overview of the proposal. We're not asking for any action to be taken tonight by the Planning Commission or City Council. Only that the developers requested an opportunity to present this to both the Planning Commission and City Council and receive some feedback for you. So if you don't have any more questions for me right now, I would like to turn some time over to the developer so he can add or expand on anything that I've shared.
Sherry, I have some questions, mm-hmm. if that's okay. First question, is there anything in our town center plan that specifically prioritizes middle housing, specifically larger units? Within a development?
No, I don't.
Okay. And then the second question is, do you have any information or can you give us a sense of how the density of this project relates to other projects when we look at the project as a whole, including the original 52 townhomes, rather than just this second half of the development?
I would have to go back and calculate that with the 52, with the original
okay.
townhomes.
Thank you.
I did not calculate that, and I didn't include their area at all in that calculation, but I can easily redo that in my spreadsheet and add that.
Great, thanks.
I'm not sure if this is a question for you or for the developer. With the one-bedroom units, some being with the movable bedroom wall, which are really studios, and others being one-bedrooms that are more traditional, are all of those going to be at 80% or just the juniors?
Just the juniors, and so that's 70 of them.
There's only three of the small, or the bigger ones, so the 67.
67. Okay.
So instead of 71 bedrooms being 80%, 67 of the 71 bedrooms would be 80%?
67 of the total units would be affordable housing considered.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there are only three of the corner one bedroom, so all the rest of them are the junior 67. That's correct.
I, I guess this could be for you or the developer, but I'm just, it's a simple question, but you said that the building on the west, I think you said, was true mixed use as retail with residential above. And is that the case for the other building then?
No, the other building is solely residential.
Okay. The but even building. The corner piece?
Even the corner piece. There's the leasing office
okay.
for the management is
okay,
on the ground level.
Did you want me to talk more about the project or take okay. So yeah, I don't know if you have any questions immediately. I can dive into.
Okay. Paul, first, with the amount of office space and retail that you have, how does that compare to the vacancies in North Salt Lake and in South Davis County?
So your question is regarding primarily the commercial space?
The commercial and the retail space, and also the office space.
So, yeah, for the record, Jesse Curtis and
Brian Carlisle.
So we haven't done like an official study regarding, you know, the vacancy. We know that obviously currently nothing exists right there. You know, North Salt Lake has had an issue keeping commercial and retail spaces filled. You know, the property directly east of ours, right there on Orchard, took almost 7 years to occupy, and I think it's still only at about 80% occupancy right now. But we don't have any office space, just to clarify. Every inch of that 8,900 square feet is going to be retail or, you know, other commercial, but no office is planned. So we don't have a study officially. It's not a large enough space that we feel like, you know, we can't potentially fill it, especially with the, you know, aesthetic appeal that our building is going to have. You know, it's a nice corridor that we think we can drive some people, but we anticipate anywhere from maybe 5 to 8 tenants of roughly 1,000 to 1,500 square feet per on average.
And if you don't get those tenants, or if it takes 7 years to fill, is this still pencil?
I mean, at that point, we'd be committed either way, but that's where, you know, we've come before the committees and the council in the past to say, look, the existing 2015 development agreement does not pencil. From an office, a commercial perspective, it will never get built with how it's written right now. And that's what we're hoping to do here, where we're bringing affordable housing that's desperately needed to the city while also still, you know, trying to fill a little bit of that higher end echelon of kind of commercial retail fill.
Okay. Also, they talked about moving the parking spots around. Are they evenly spaced so that there are as many parking spots as there are apartments on both sides?
Yeah.
And about the covered spaces as well, is there one covered space on each side for each apartment?
It was laid out specifically so that, you know, I don't know that we can totally control people crossing the street, but to minimize that. So there are exactly 19 covered. It's 1-to-1 ratio on each side for covered.
Okay, thank you.
So just to dovetail that question, is there a specific, is it shared parking between residential and commercial in the west building, first come, first serve for both employees and customers and residents, or would there be dedication of certain spots for commercial?
So I imagine the covered spaces would be, we would designate that for residents, and then the remainder would be undesignated. So one resident would get one covered spot per unit.
And as far as the retail and commercial use, you guys paid as a city for a pretty intense survey or study that was done that we've referred to in past planning commission meetings. We can pull it up, you know, when we go officially before the council and the commission, but essentially it reflects that the kind of commercial and retail use that we'll be, you know, offering versus, you know, the nighttime heavy density use of the apartments, that there's essentially almost no crossover. And so being able to use the spots simultaneously for both commercial and residential is helpful. But like we said, there's going to be at least one designated spot per unit on each side of the road, and then the rest may be a shared.
Commissioner Holbrook, just as my notes, one of the biggest complaints at the last, or at the public hearing, was parking. If we refer to story two of the west building, it looks like you've gotten rid of two-thirds of the elevated parking. It would seem to me that it would be a benefit not only to 130 East, but also your existing tenants in the townhomes to have that elevated parking as you had it before. It seems it would solve a lot of your parking ratio, the parking on the street on 130 East, your existing townhome residents, and that potential for retail and homeowner difference. It seems like that's an easy win to address a number of issues.
So going back, are we able to go back to the table that you prepared for the density? I think this is the most important thing that really was drastically missed at the last public session, and that a lot of, you know, the upset citizens aren't gathering. Yeah, it's in the other attachment that you had, that the table you prepared with the density of units per acre.
I didn't put it in the
okay.
We have access.
You guys have it, but anyways, yeah, maybe I can refer to yours, Sherry. It's here at the bottom of this page in the attachment you guys have. So the most important columns here, and this is really what this table is indicating. The bedroom density, like Sherry mentioned, we're actually lower bedroom density per acre than Williamsburg, and we're slightly above Village Station. And then parking ratio per bedroom, which is exactly what you're describing, we're actually on the far high end, well above Williamsburg. I mean, we're 50% greater than the Village Station that was just completed. So we know that we'll be adequately parked for our tenants, and probably even overparked, to be honest. Our parking study, which we've paid and gotten with Ryan Hells multiple times, has indicated that we're only at about 1.2 parking stalls per bedroom, where we're at 1.39 now.
And I appreciate those comments. If being devil's advocate, I would argue that those other developments don't have commercial and residential at the same point. And you're also, based on public comment and my own experience driving 130 East, you're also trying to make up for a shortcoming in the townhomes that are already there, would be my argument of, you're already elevating concrete for a second story. There's obviously a significant cost to that. It just seems like this would be an easy, you're elevating parking anyway. Complete the other two-thirds seems to solve a lot of problems for the public who will be your next audience.
I'm not sure if...
Can I ask a question on that maybe just flush out some information? Sherry, remind me, did we have Hales Engineering or somebody do a look at parking needs relating to, not this project, but the... Yeah, and how does that parking study done on our behalf, it was requested by the city, how does it comport with the ratios that we're looking at?
Does that question make sense?
I don't have that off the top of my head, so I would have to do a little more research on that.
I think just to echo Commissioner Holbrook's comment, you know, it's one thing to look at studies and that, but as we drive past currently, it seems to be underparked based on what's going on there now. And so that was my thought too, is this is a great opportunity to rectify that first phase, you know.
How would adding additional structured parking affect your ability to make this project pencil?
It's tremendously expensive, I can tell you that.
I mean, that's the reason we cut it back, is we figured we had sufficient parking at this point, and, you know, there's the potential to add that in, you know, if that's going to be a deal breaker. We prefer not to, just for the financial metrics. You know, a lot of times the residential subsidizes a lot of retail failures, if that were the case, and so that's why the two can mix together in some areas where retail may not be quite as viable. So we can definitely look at that. You know, I'm not saying
just
yes or
for
no.
The record, I'm not actually asking you to do that. I'm asking you what your
that's the reason we pulled it back.
Doing that would cause you to
for about your $30,000 per parking stall in cost that we elevate, and that's on the low end, maybe more.
I have a couple questions or comments. The first, a priority for me is maintaining the retail, and I look at this project in its entirety, not just in the second half. So the entire project that was passed in 2015 included both retail and housing, but you've already gotten part of the housing. And so all of these comparisons to just the second half of the development aren't sufficient for me to feel like it's answering the question of, are you providing the retail you had committed to? I'm not opposed to adjusting the retail, but I want to maintain as much as possible that retail. I appreciate your point that there are retail spaces in that area that have had a hard time being occupied, but I also think a portion of that is because they are retail islands, and what this would do is create a retail center, a downtown center, which is our goal in the downtown area, and in my role on city council, it is to maintain and move towards that goal for the entire city, not piecemeal one development by another, but to see the entire picture. So maintaining that retail is very important to me, one. And then a second question, specifically, of those two buildings, do you anticipate that you will do a sequence of development where you again do the townhouses and residential first and leave the retail for second?
No, we plan to do the entire thing in one phase. And just to point out, from the existing development agreement, this actually has more retail space because of the previous two commercial buildings that were planned, the entire east building was purely office, no retail of any kind. And the west building, only the main floor, and the main floor was only about 7,000 square feet. So we've actually increased retail based on what's currently buildable if we wanted to go forward, which is just a bunch of office space. We're actually increasing retail.
I also do value the office space, so that doesn't entirely address the concern, but the ability for people to work and shop downtown, not just live in our downtown area. And then other priorities for me, as you're asking for feedback on what I would be personally supportive of, is to prioritize middle housing. That's something that we continue to hear about. And what that really means is larger units, not more and more small units, one-bedroom units. So that would be my second one. One, maintain retail. Two, prioritize middle housing. Three, increase the green space. And then four, that not really additional parking accommodation. That there, we just have to be well-parked in this area, and we're not currently. And so I don't see a lot of flexibility for that for myself, speaking for myself.
Mayor, can I ask a question also? With regard to the retail commercial space, when you build that, will you build it in such a way that it would facilitate restaurant usage? You would keep that as an option, whether venting or whatever you need to do for your code, so that that could be utilized in such a fashion?
Yeah, we're familiar with like the grease trap and the other things that you need to build into it, and we had anticipated at least one section of that area for that. One section, meaning we will identify and create it, and then from there, whatever, you know, spaces come in, as long as we can push them to that side, depending on if they want 4,000 square feet or 2,000 square feet, that may determine if we can get one or two restaurants or three restaurants in there, depending on the size that they want.
Jess, I don't know if this would fly in Davis County, but they're charging now in a lot of areas in the Salt Lake County area for parking. Have you thought about, on those covered reserve spots, actually charging for them?
Charging the residents?
Yeah, and we actually do plan to charge for the covered parking potentially. The problem is that even at $75 per stall, which is kind of the average in downtown, and if any parking is being charged for in Davis, it's typically more like $50 a stall. You know, at the cost of lending at $30,000 plus per stall, it still is an absolute loss for us.
You're young. You'll get it back.
I also have concerns about charging for parking on low-income housing. Like, I feel like, hi, move here, 80%. Oh, and also $75 a month to park.
There's a flip side to that. And the flip side is that having high parking ratios and then just bumping up the price point of everything. So I think it's better to have less parking and then be able to pass on, if we're concerned about the price point, then the rents are gonna in part reflect how much parking we have.
And to reflect on what you had just said, we anticipate that we would ultimately or potentially charge $75 per stall. And so when people come in, will that be in the contract?
Of course.
Because sometimes I know at these developments, what happens is a person thinks they're paying $1,200 a month, and then suddenly they've got the Wi-Fi, which is another this, and then the parking and so forth, and then it's unaffordable. But they thought it was when they originally began. So that would be transparent, correct?
Of course.
We also are currently having a problem with charging for parking where it's overspilling onto all of the city streets because people would rather walk a block than pay for the parking. And we are currently trying to mitigate that in one of our past projects where we tried to utilize this as an option. And so the parking is not getting utilized that was built over there, and we're having complaints about that it's all spilling over onto the city roads. So although idyllically this works out, what we are living with right now and seeing play out in real time is that this does not work in North Salt Lake.
So
what's the name of it,
Sherry? Eaglewood Village.
Eaglewood Village? Eaglewood Lofts.
So when you drive by Eaglewood Lofts, the parking is empty, but the streets are bulging.
So Thank you for pointing that out.
I was just going to point out that same project. And I think the difference is that I don't think the city staff would support another project that had paid parking unless it was required. In other words, if someone rents a unit, they must pay for their parking space. In the Eaglewood Lofts, it's voluntary. And, of course, people don't want to pay. So we would make that change. I don't know if that's consistent with what you would do.
Yes.
But
it would be mandatory
for the cover.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So the most important thing about this to me is the 80% of the affordable housing, so those 67 units. I just would want to know that you guys were actually committed to that, and I don't mean you're actually committed to pricing the rent there, but also committed to making sure that any additional fees or charges didn't make it unaffordable, because I have kids that live here and they can't afford to live here. Even though they make good money, they don't make good enough money to rent in North Salt Lake. And so that to me is the best selling point you have, is the affordable housing. And that's what I want to make sure you actually focus on, is making sure it's affordable and that it's not something that ends up getting like planned out as you need more money for the project.
So when I look at this project, there's a lot I really like about it, to be frank. I think the architecture is really good. I think the scale doesn't give me any concern at all. Three stories, to be honest. I like the way it it's a little shorter on the uphill side. The landscaping doesn't give me any pause at all. And part of that is because I think your key amenity is being near Hatch Park. Parking is an interesting question. It's an interesting thing because we certainly don't want to have an underparked situation, but I think that we have a mix of things that we're asking you for. We're asking you for a walkable development, we're asking you for affordable units, and now we're also asking for lots of parking. And different people here can prioritize those differently, but I would put lots of parking at the bottom of those three. I would say it's more important for it to be walkable and affordable than it is to have lots of parking. And my sense on how parking dynamics work is that we don't have to have the same parking ratios across the city. And if there's one spot that can handle a little bit of a more efficient parking setting, it is your town center. It's the place where you have the best public transportation and you're working to create a walkable setting. And that over time, demands sort out project to project and people start to realize, okay, the town center is not the place I'm going to go if I have two cars, or not the place I'm going to go if I have three cars, certainly. I'll go to a different part of the city if that's what I'm looking for. And over time, these kinds of things can work themselves out. It's an interesting thing. I'm on a soapbox now, but the last thing I'll say is that I think that a mature town center works out its parking problems by managing its public parking. That means how we manage the street parking. It's up to us as a city to manage that.
So to that point, one of the things that as a member of the Planning Commission, having gone through two public hearings, hearing well over 100 people voice opposition to this, I would remind everybody, is the parking situation here is a little different than if it's on the periphery of the city. It is in the center. If we do underpark it, and I'm just talking in generalities, if we do underpark it, it's going to make a really bad situation with 130 East a lot worse, plus the conflicts at Orchard. And it really is interesting to go and to begin to observe that. Go down in particular and watch the pickup at Orchard and see what goes on. I think the city has mitigation needs to do working in consultation with the safety plan and the traffic plan for Orchard. But there's some undesirable things that are happening there now, and those need to be remedied. But you're trying to put high density housing right in the middle of two major areas that already have conflicts. And we heard that loud and clear from well over 100 people. So I would just remind people, this is maybe not the same as Williamsburg, that's kind of on the periphery, on an area that's really being redeveloped for the first time. It's in the town center. The name change suggests that we're going from, a town plaza to just more housing. We need more housing. We need more affordable housing. But there are some conflicts, and we heard it loud and clear, with that specific location. So I think we got to get it right. I'm not going to advocate for certain parking ratios or whatever, but I would remind everybody that the public spoke loud and clear. And I could tell from the body language on some of the discussion that we're having flashbacks to that.
I just want to echo that. Williamsburg, we actually made them add some parking, but even then it may be tight, but you don't have an option there. You've got I-15 on one side and Highway 89. So if you've got two cars and there's only one spot, you're just not going to rent there. Mm-hmm. City Center, you can go up into that residential area and it's a short walk down. And we'll hear from people about that.
I like what Councilman, is it Knowlton, was referring to, though, in that, right now, even as it stands with two empty lots, with no commercial, retail, office, or anything, driving up and down 130 is impossible to get two cars coming at each other because cars are parked on both sides. And I know at least probably 20 of the homeowners in the townhomes, either friends, family, or acquaintances, and a lot of them have a two-car garage, and yet one of the cars they park on the street because it's easier, right? Well, if you make one of the sides of the street or both sides of the street unparkable with, red paint, then they'll clean their garage out and park their second car where they need to because they're not going to walk three blocks. And so this is just my own personal opinion, but with 1.39 stalls per bedroom, we are heavily parked, far more than Williamsburg, far more than Village Station. I mean, literally 50% more than Village Station. I know for a fact that our own tenants and our own use would not spill over to the roads. And so maybe it is a question of trying to figure out how to get those town homeowners to actually use their second car garage.
Sorry, we could rent them storage units cheap somewhere.
I don't think it's, I mean, looking at the big situation, something needs to be done about parking there. But I don't know that it's fair to ask this development to solve the problems that were created before, because they're different developers, right?
Not really.
No.
But we have to stop making accommodations. Otherwise, we just keep coupling on the problems.
I thought they sold it. Sorry, I was confused.
It's the same development agreement that we're modifying. Different development entities. So there's some gray area there.
I don't know what the data could possibly be on this, but are there very many junior-sized apartments in North Salt Lake currently? No, there are not. So is there data on, like, I mean, because I will say the ratio parking this time is better than last time, which I appreciate. I do wonder, like, are there this size in Salt Lake, like downtown? So I just wonder, like, typically how many adults are living in a junior size apartment? Because that actually makes a huge difference. If it's one versus two, that's like your parking ratio could be, like, if it's typically just one person living in a junior size apartment, I think this ratio is like viable, right? But if we're cramming two people in there, I think it's, I mean, I'm you think it's more?
Yeah,
it's
is it unusual for a couple to get married and have two cars and rent a one bedroom apartment?
Yes.
Happens all the time.
I mean, that'd be couple, right? Okay.
That's actually not true.
So
do I. Yeah. 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 I lived here for 10 years now. No, the data insists that only 1.21 people per studio or junior apartment. So you're
1.21 cars.
That's across, well, there's hardly any data in Davis, but yeah, I mean, across all of the Salt Lake Valley, yeah, that's vehicles per unit, 1.21.
And could I ask, like, is there like a general maybe ballpark of, like, I know you're saying 80%, but like, what is the actual cost of a junior apartment? Am I allowed to ask that? What would the cost be of a junior apartment for somebody to live there? Rent, correct.
We're currently somewhere in between $1,250 and probably $1,350 a month.
Last time it came, is that affordable? Less than $900. That's what's going on.
Now, can I ask a couple questions on this? First off, thank you for coming with a new approach. No one has said that. You're making great efforts to try to make this project work. And so I appreciate that. And it's very typical for you to be sort of characterized as not considering the general welfare of the city. And I'm not thinking that way. So I want you to know that up front. One option could be deed restrictions with regard to the affordable housing. Would you agree in the development agreement that when that project is penciled, that there'll be a deed restriction on the unit that it remains affordable housing? Indefinitely.
30 years.
Or for 50 years.
Affordable housing typically comes with incentives, and we're not asking for any incentives in this project.
We would be willing to deed restrict some of the units, absolutely. I don't know what percentage we'd have to look, but quite frankly, I personally would say, yeah, the vast majority of those 67, I'd be willing to deed restrict.
Let me tell you why this is really important, because when we saw the feedback that you were receiving, the public is very unhappy with leadership of this city when you see more multiple dense housing. They're just not happy with it. That doesn't matter because it's needed. But at the same time, there's got to be a protection for those in need, right? We hear this all the time at the state legislature and every conference that we go to on real estate and everything else. But there's got to be a guarantee that this will remain affordable housing. If not, our citizens are not going to go for this at all.
So, sorry, I digress a little on this. The reason that these are affordable is we are building them to 80% AMI. Because they're so small, they naturally hit the 80% AMI. So you would want a deed restriction on a 30% or a 50% AMI. I think that would be more beneficial. You know, we haven't really gone down the path of deed restricting it to 80% AMI. That's, I don't know, I'm trying to think through this. So you got LIHTC housing, which is kind of a different beast. So we're open to it. I don't know that it would hurt our pro forma. I'm just saying these are the reason we're doing this is because they're naturally affordable. And so we wouldn't be raising the affordability. The income will naturally be in line with it.
One other piece about this with regard to the affordable, and this is something that I learned just last week at the Utah League of Cities and Towns conference. There are places in Salt Lake City where you have a studio or you have a one bedroom, and the room has 12 teenagers lying on the floor in that one bedroom. And they're actually asking people to make quilts and bed mats and so forth for these people to live in a unit that is far too small for them. And that is something that you can't address, we can't address, but it's a fact.
Well, we can address it. As part of the leasing agreement, we can maximize the occupancy of the certain units. And that's just part of kind of rent control, just same as if you had somebody who was constantly making too much noise and breaking rules that way, you can also, you know, deal with them similarly. Back to the deed restriction, as long as it was worded and aligned with the HUD 80% AMI table, meaning that it factors in inflation over time, then yeah, we'd be willing to definitely look at that.
And maybe tie it to workforce housing, like employment housing, or I mean, you see this a lot in resort communities. That's not what we are, but we're a bedroom community, right? And so we have a lot of people who are employees in Salt Lake City who could have employment housing. So you could have, like, affordable or assisted employment housing as your deed restriction. Not so much just because of HUD and the percentages. But that deed restriction could also go. It doesn't have to be 100 years. It could be 50 years. It could be 30 years. But it's going to be a long time. It's not going to be 5.
What percentage of the 67 would you think would be adequate for at least the council and the commission to feel like this is the best interest of the city, regardless of 40 or 50 angry people?
100% of that would be.
I'd say 80% of the 67.
Oh, I think 100% of the 67.
So there you go. We're two different votes.
Anybody else have feedback on
well,
that?
Well, I just would agree with the developers that the very nature of these studio apartments, you know, the market's going to dictate that you can't go too high on them. There's, you know, you can't hardly turn around in them.
I just don't know that you can trust a market in a situation like this where we are so many housing units short. Because the supply and demand curve do not cross in the correct spot, these are going to be worth more than 80% of the annual rent, especially because they're close to downtown and they're right on a BRT route. So I think what makes this doable for me and makes it able that I can sell it is that we are looking out for our kids,
our young people
who can't find a place to rent in the city or who are in someone's gross basement in Woods Cross. So, and that's really, it's a true story. They are living in a basement in Woods Cross.
It's okay. It's really okay.
I have a question about like the street, like 130. So in the plan, there's a lot of kind of, I don't know if there's like reconstruction happening there to like, you know, make it look nicer, if that's like kind of what you were showing earlier, Sherry, Because I'm just wondering, like, I mean, I don't think this is possible, but, like, would there be any way to create, like, angled parking or something? Just because, I mean, so, you know, at one of our first meetings, there was, like, a reference to 9th and 9th, and we're like, oh, we really want our town center to be, like, 9th and 9th. The difference between this and 9th and 9th is 9th and 9th has the infrastructure to accommodate for underparking, right? There's a lot of grid there where you can park. Here, there's one tiny street, and otherwise you're crossing major roads. So I'm just, I mean, I just wonder if there's a way to just create more space. I don't know.
There's not really a lot of room to widen this space. And the idea with this street when it was first designed was to discourage through traffic. It was to be access to these residential townhomes and the two office buildings that were going to be built. It's not supposed to be a street that is highly traveled by people outside of the neighborhood. But I think that's a reality that it
right
is.
There, it's really hard to drop. Everyone's turning around at that drop.
Right. And that, yeah. So that's a problem that's maybe, 45 minutes twice a day
for the school? Right. Yeah.
And so do we widen the street to solve a problem that's 45 minutes
every day? Well, because it's underparked
in
the townhomes and potentially underparked here, I just was
right
trying to think of a...
And there's no reason to say that we can't do both of increase the parking ratio and as a city address parking on 130 East. You can do both.
Our time's kind of up. I don't mind keep going if we have more questions, but Jess, you feel like you've got some feedback here that if I was going to summarize it, my take of the group, I think there's some good progress is made. I think there's some things about this that are positive. I've got perfect 2020 hindsight after doing this for 20 years, and you can't go back and fix the things that we've done wrong in the past, and we've made some mistakes. Yeah. And parking is always seems to be one of those. So, you know, I'm just sitting here like, I know the economics of it. I work for a developer. Interest rates are killing us all. But it'd be nice to get the parking right going in.
And I completely agree with that. And we're at the point now where, you know, we've realized that what ideally we wanted out of this is never going to happen. If you guys recall, and I think most of you are the same, but over a year ago, I came in front of the Planning Commission and got a majority favorable vote, and then I came in front of the council and got a majority favorable vote for 102 units, all of which were studios with a much lower parking density than we have now. Now, granted, since then we tried to go up in height because the P District allowed for six stories and all this other stuff, at which point we've realized, obviously, the city and its residents are not interested in six stories and density like that, which is great. This is part of the process. So we're back here at an even lower density than we were 14 months ago, you know, hoping to really kind of figure this out because, you know, we'd like to get this off the ground. Interest rates, even where they are, we can still make this project work under these circumstances, but we're hoping that this is about where we can get it approved.
Can I do a parting shot?
Sure.
So, first of all, it's so great to meet with the Planning Commission and to do this joint. And I know from firsthand experience that is an awesome group of Planning Commissioners. So, so much trust to you guys in vetting this. And so thank you. A new thing that I did not say, but it was mentioned, I think, by... Council Member Van Langeveld, it is super important that retail is held for retail. And I don't know if that's part of the agreement now, but it needs to be part of the agreement. And further, that building has to be built either at the same time or before the residential only pieces, because we've been down the path before of having a mixed use development and having the residential go in, and then we're left waiting. So that is critically important that we have that retail component. It's in your plan, but we just need to have an assurance, I would argue, in the agreement for that.
And we'd be very agreeable to both those.
Okay. And then, there's this natural conflict between affordability and parking, and I know that there's no easy answer, but I just want to recognize that there is that conflict.
So I hesitate to do this because it will feel like I'm diving into the weeds here on the parking issue, but I just wanted to inform everyone that the safety committee had a meeting and discussed parking on 130 East and the idea of restricting car parking on one side of the street or both sides of the street. We're not finished meeting on that question, but I would report to everyone here that the first meeting that we had, we came out after a long discussion concerned that if we restrict parking on one side of the street, speeds are going to increase and we're going to have an outcome that we didn't intend, which is, and Sherry alluded to that, we would facilitate more of a cut through the neighborhood, people traveling around. And today, it's frustrating to drive on 130 East, probably for some of us, but you have to admit that speeds are low. They're consistent with pedestrians who might cross the street. Maybe they're not crossing today, but they will in the near future if we build this project. And so we have mixed opinions as a safety committee about whether it's a good idea to change the parking allowance that exists today. Now, I think Jess's point about people not using their garages for parking is a great point, and we should consider that as well as we continue to talk about it. But I just wanted to let you know that we'd had those discussions.
And the other portion of that discussion had to do with measuring the parking or the traffic that was using 130 East, that right now it is not a really great time to measure that, with the left turn being closed from Highway 89 to Eagle Ridge Drive. A lot of people are going up center and cutting through 130, which is exacerbating the problem. We feel like when the Highway 89 is done and that construction that Weber Basin Water is doing is completed, as well as the construction that's the repair that's going on right here on Center Street, then measuring that traffic and finding out what the actual conditions are under normal circumstances would be a better move to go forward with the safety committee to evaluate the decision.
Is there the ability to work with Davis School District on the Orchard situation? Again, safety being the primary concern, if you sit there and observe, there are some undesirable behaviors, parking on private lots, walking, jaywalking. I didn't see a lot of kids doing it. Fortunately, they weren't, kids walking home or going up to the crosswalk. That was encouraging, but I do think more could be done, ideally, to try to optimize that better than what's going on now.
I appreciate that. We'll look at those things too.
Just a couple of input points from the body that will have to hold this public hearing. At this point, I think you are going to get exactly the same input that you got from the 4+ hours and 100+ people that we've heard from. I think the density is not down enough. I'm not saying you necessarily have to change it, but I am just telling you what I am foreseeing happening is the exact same public hearing that we've now held twice. And we'll hold it as many times as we need to, because that's the job that we do here. I think if you don't come in with something really compelling about deed restricting these numbers, the density, they are not going to like the numbers. I think if you don't come in with some really compelling things about that the parking is going to work, not just number-wise, but that you have seen the problem, this is how we're going to mitigate it really strongly, that you, if you don't ease the stress there, you're going to get exactly the same thing with the retail not being held for retail. These are the points that have to come in to make this feel different. Because at this point, it doesn't actually feel different. It's a little bit lower numbers. The parking's been shuffled around, but it does not feel like you have really heard the public from my perspective. And I realize you're trying to meet these points, but I do not think this is going to translate to the public feeling like you actually heard them. I could be wrong on that, but I am also the one who's going to have to host that public hearing and have these people come to me and be like, we keep coming and telling you we want this to be different. So that's my input, is that you really need to hit something hard with the deed restricting that makes the numbers feel like at least it's being protected, held for the retail, ease on the parking, whatever, however you want to present that, that makes it really clear, we heard you, we heard you, we heard you. The parking on that road, we heard it from 80 plus people every meeting that we did. And then the green space is still a little bit iffy to me, but that might not come up. The things that came up with the residents was the numbers and the parking. And I don't really feel like they are going to feel like they were heard with this presentation. And you maybe can bring the same thing here and speak to it a little bit differently. But I think from a layman public world, this is not going to feel like much changed. We will have as many hearings as we need to have because that's the job we're doing, but that's what I think that you're going to receive from the public that night.
And I want to echo that as an elected official, feeling like you're not listening to the public or the public maintains outrage over this will matter to me as I vote on it, because I want to know, have the residents know that I hear what they're saying as well. So just an additional encouragement to consider what you heard at those public hearings.
All right. Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
We're adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.
Always good to be with you guys.
Yeah, that was fun.
Sherry, do you want us just to stay here? Just do it all here? Let's just stay here. Is that good? Can we just stay here?
I don't
want to
move.
I know. I'm thinking it's totally different. Okay. Ryan's going to go sit over there.
Do we want to just slide right in? Or wait?
I wish I was better informed. I've read a few essays about how rent control, whether it's deed restrictions or government fees, all it does is replace weight. Whereas the market would maybe flush people out.
Yeah, it's
way more.
Now, I think this was a California
essay. But if I'm trying to address his next audience,
it's a
problem.
Like, I don't know how to present it as a, but my initial was like, ugh. I think